Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your host, Taylor B. and The Bagels.
Hello!
Yes, hello. This is an advanced theory podcast, if you've never listened to us before, and that isn't to say we're exclusive, it is only to say that we don't go super in-depth with the background and explanations of everything we talk about. The purpose of this podcast is to have fun with the lore, so there's a little bit of expectation that you sort of know what we're talking about, but it's okay if you don't. You can reach out to us at Spinfoil Theory on Twitter, spinfoiltheory@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me directly at This Is Red Leader, L-I-T-R-E, all one word, no dashes or periods or any other symbology involved in that name. And yeah, so without further ado, now that we have the housekeeping out of the way, the Bagels, tell us about the topic.
So our topic for today is: are the Vex, the Radiolarian fluid, the white stuff, the Vex milk, as some people refer to it as, are they that themselves? Like, is that essentially the whole of their being? And is the Vex chassis, the metal outer shell, just housing for that Radiolaria?
Ooh, so what you're saying is the Vex are inside the computer?
It didn't take very long for that reference to come up.
Oh no, it was sitting here half cocked the whole time, just ready. As soon as it became topical, I mean, I all I'm saying is the Vex are inside the computer. All right, I'll stop derailing this conversation. Sorry, audience.
So anyway, the whole basis of this concept is that the Vex are very mysterious enemies in the Destiny universe. From what we know about them, they basically have vast computational networks where they simulate other beings and basically try to take over the universe and become the final shape is a lot how typically it's versed to in the universe.
I feel like the final shape is a bit more like Hivey. And I feel like what the Vex want is to, from beginning to end of the universe, they want to exist. So in that way, they would become one with it. Like
that's fair. The Vex themselves really don't have any wants. I kind of misspoke there a little bit. They kind of are just there to survive. I guess is probably the better survive or they lack emotions. So my terms were kind of. I was applying human terms to something that kind of seems to lack those types of
At things. Least on the base level, I'd be willing to think that greater minds or perhaps the main mind might have a little more closer to human autonomy with their thoughts and emotions, just because they're, you know how like, did you ever read Ender's Game growing up?
I did not.
Did you ever see the movie? The movie's okay, but it's like not that good.
No.
Oh. So long story short, like spoiler alert if you guys didn't read this book from the 80s, maybe 70? No, 80s. But long story short is we encounter a race that is basically like ants. And so only the queen has like autonomy of thought. Everything else is just like a drone, really. And so that's the disconnect. When they first meet us, they kind of like immediately go to war like ants do in nature. And they start, like, killing things, trying to take over. And then when the queen finally realizes what she's done, she sort of allows us to kill her out of her own, like, remorse, in a way. Like, the war still goes on. It's a whole plot point. But, like, it's once she realized that, like, every one of us had the same, like, level of thought and personhood that she did, she, like, basically resigned herself to death.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because she felt terrible. She was just like, oh, no! Like... type of thing. So I wonder if as we get progressively higher in minds that we encounter, because I think so far the most advanced one is arguably Atheon, but I think the most advanced one's the Nexus mind that we've encountered
sure.
Personally, even though that was just a strike and not like a raid. I would be interested to know. Yeah.
I would actually argue counter to that. The unveiling lore book, it kind of details the origins of the Vex. Now, mind you, their adaptations since essentially the beginning of the universe is basically what the Unveiling lore book discusses. discusses. But basically, the origins of the Vex are as the flowers in the flower game. They are the units that spread and eventually become the perfect shape as the Winnoware details it.
I've seen that theory. I think we might have to table that discussion for another episode, because okay. I don't think that's what they are.
Okay.
I think they fit a lot of what those are. I think the illusions for our benefit, because that's what we have to remember that whole lore book is. It's a retelling of a story for our benefit, so it makes references to things we know.
That could be too. Sorry.
I have a problem with it, because their original purpose when they're first brought through before they encounter the Hive is to construct. Mm-hmm. And they still, in many ways, like, they use that as their primary way to move through things. So I have a problem with them saying they're the flowers, because a flower's purpose is to reproduce and make more flowers and grow the board. The Vex would be content with just having one space on the board that was safe.
I don't know that the flowers actually have a purpose per se.
In the game, the flower. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. Sorry.
No, you're fine. In the game, the flowers are there. Trying to think how to phrase this. They're kind of like pawns, and eventually the only way that the way to maximize the number of pawns on the board is via the one true pattern, essentially. They really don't have a purpose to themselves, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
If they were to come from that purpose? What I think of is back in, I think it's the Book of Sorrows, they sort of describe the Vex when they first get torn into the Dreadnought, into our universe.
Mm-hmm.
They're construction robots.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not very, like, good at... And another theory of mine is some of the similar shapes and classes you have between the Hive and the Vex are because of that interaction, because throughout that whole passage, or that whole story, rather, they talk about how the Vex evolve and, like, learn the ways of war and, like, even worshipping the darkness to use it as a weapon against the Hive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all observed, so I think that's kind of why, like, who are those big boy Vex? The walkie boys, the boomy boys.
Oh, Minotaurs?
Minotaurs. I think Minotaurs are very similar to Hive Knights, especially boomers. Okay. I think the goblins, sort of hobgoblins, are very similar to, not to Thrall, but like to other classes. I think there's a lot of parallels in purpose. I'm not saying they're like the same unit. It's like a reskin. Like, obviously they behave differently, but I think there's something there that the first being in this galaxy or universe that the Vex encounter are the Hive, and that through like centuries of war for survival,
they essentially evolved to choose units that are modeled after
things that were kicking their ass.
I can see reason in that.
Which kind of brings us to why it's so. You get to a more recent story with the Vex, Kabir.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's something that constantly kicks their ass? A guardian. What's something that they convert into something that they can have access to? And we don't even know if all his light's gone. We just know that it was like. How can I say this? He drank the Vex milk. He put the remaining. He converted his ghost into the shield,
mm-hmm.
the artifact, and then he like wanders off to like be consumed by the Vex, at least mentally. And so I just wonder if like them like accepting that is just sort of a like, hey, maybe we can imitate these other guys who like constantly kick our ass.
So my impression with Kabir is that the Vex basically file him away for use in like an emergency situation. Like if they need to file if they need to fight some sort of paracausal entity like orcs again.
Oh, so basically. You think he also still has his light?
I think that he's retained enough of himself that the Vex can use him for their own purposes like that. I don't know that he necessarily has his light, but the fact that he would still maintain some of his self, his soul, or term.
I just mean guardian. I just mean guardian powers. Like I think guardian powers are given to the vessel. I think demonstrably. And I would also add to this that, like, I'm pretty sure Asher still has. Does Asher still have his ghost?
Yes, but it is at least partially taken over by the Vex.
Right, but they both still have their light.
Correct. He's afraid to resurrect himself, though, because of what he might become or enhance the infection that's already present.
See, like, that's what's so funny to me. I feel like, you know, maybe it's scarier because his ghost is infected, but if he could fix his ghost somehow, I feel like that would be the perfect way to fix it, because then his ghost could just bring him back whole.
Correct. But yeah, if his ghost is affected, then it's
it might be like
proposition.
Oh god, remember the Siva ghost?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I feel so bad for that ghost. I think it had a guardian, but like clearly that ghost guardian was not coming back.
Yeah, probably not.
That was a cool ghost though. I remember rocking that in D1. I'm sorry. I've completely derailed your intro. I've completely let me shut up for a second and please continue the bagels. I appreciate you indulging me.
So anyway, radial area in actual terms and in real life per se are little single-celled organisms that secrete silica. So the basis of Vex using the basis of us calling the Vex protozoa or whatever you want to call them, radiolaria, is their similarity to Earth, modern Earth radiolaria, in that they both produce silica and the Vex apparently use their radiolaria to produce that silica for both computational purposes and then to produce structures and take over planets as apparent in things like the Vault of Glass and like the Pyramidion, things like that. You see the giant crystalline structures, that's the silica grown to monumental proportions, essentially. So the basis of this theory is that the Vex themselves exist as those radiolaria and then combine together in order to create their giant computational networks. By themselves, they are single-celled organisms that have very little ability to process information, but combined, edit Captain Planet, something here, they're by their powers combined, they come together and they basically are a super unit. Think something like Hunters from Halo universe, or I guess I don't have another great example similar to that, but that's
or whatever you can come up with on your own.
Yeah, exactly. it's a color your own adventure here.
Ooh. Anyway, are you still in?
No, I'm good. You go ahead, dive in right. If you want to dissect it.
So I hate to lead with this, but in the strike on Io in Destiny 2, where you jump past the Raylorian waterfall, Ikora is on your radio and she flat out says they're not the Raylorian. Like she says the Vex are not the Raylorian.
She says something similar on, I think it's Universal Waveforms, the ship. And it might be kind of Ikora,
like it's her opinion.
Ikorism. It's more like she's thinking beyond the scope of the Vex aren't the Raylorian. She might be actually saying that the Vex aren't just limited to the form of the Raylorian. That would make more sense to me than just flat out saying, no, the Beck's not the radial area.
I also have some, like, before I even get into the lore bits, how do radial area create chassis for themselves?
how do they gain complex enough thought processes to unite smelt. Together in order to, yeah.
In order to smelt?
Oh, even just physically, just to manage that. Sure.
That's my one big thing. Two, if they're the radial area, then Io's got a much bigger problem than the robots running around. Literally, the rivers are made of the Vex. Isn't Nessus a little similar, like, in parts?
Nessus is very similar, yes.
Yeah. So that's four planets they pretty much own.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a little scary and a little insurmountable, because, like, what do you do to a river? I guess, like, you could dam it like you're some sort of beaver, but, like...
I'm picturing a bunch of titans getting down and chopping wood with their teeth.
No. They wouldn't chop it with their teeth. They would punch the trees till logs fell off, like in Minecraft. They would just, like, start punching trees.
Sorry, titans, we're not trying to pick on you. It was just the first thing that came to mind.
Dude. So everyone was joking, the memes from yesterday, this is during Guardian Games, future listeners, everyone was saying, like, oh yeah, we disabled hunters so that they couldn't, they have an equal chance, and, like, hunters still won yesterday. And then today, I know just as many hunters are playing, at least for, like, Guardian Games, like, shenanigans. Because I, like, for the first, like, bunch of things that I match made with, like, earlier today, like, it was just me and hunters, I got my laurels done really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, how are titans number one right now? Howard, unless it's the people actually playing the content or people that play on all three characters, I personally think if they're doing a people who win each day, I think they're giving each class... I bet tomorrow it's Warlocks. Mark my words. I bet tomorrow it's Warlocks.
I could believe that. They could be manipulating it to that extent.
Well, at least for the first three. So yeah. You don't get skunked. That's just me. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, so... Like, with the Vex, it's... I feel like the Vex have to be built by something else. They can't have made themselves. And if the Radiolaria are living creatures, I think those living creatures, instead of, like, them being what was created, I think those living creatures are being purposed for the, like, what the end result is we call the Vex. Sorry for confusing sentence.
Okay. So, let's take this to... So even there, how do the Radiolaria, like, connect together and form the complex units that are the Vex, builder or combat forms that we are familiar with?
I think, personally, I think the Vex are reverse cyborgs. I think they're machines with animal parts.
Okay.
I think they're something that is more, is principally a machine, is like a robot, is an android, is a mechanical, digital being, digital existence.
So basically they, some sort of AI, essentially, yeah. Decided it needed a physical being, and eventually... It evolved to a point where it realized that it had some sort of symbiotic advantage by having...
Oh, no, nothing that complex. I think they were created by someone else. I think there's, especially in when you look at Praedith's ghosts in D1 and all the different futures he's seen before he's died and allowed to resurrect again. I think there's a number where, like, there's an argument that people are who, once upon a time, maybe in a timeline that's not this one, made the Vex. I think there's argument to be made that, some, perhaps, entity or being that, which especially, like, to the original, like topic you were talking about, like, if they're, like, the flowers of the garden, you know?
Mm-hmm.
that would make sense. Something created them to do something. Because, and I mean, I think I mentioned this pre-show, but like, you know, in the Book of Sorrows, I believe the Vex are described as like primarily construction units before they meet the Hive. And yes. Then they evolve into, because I mean, I think that makes sense. I think like the Harpy is probably, or like the floating ones are probably the most likely to represent what the Vex looked like before they met the Hive. Because there's no reason, if you can float, why would you ever have legs?
Probably.
No, it just doesn't make any sense. Especially
energy inefficient to.
Here's the thing though. Here's the thing. So, what is bipedal movement good for? It's not as good as really any other form of land-based movement. Like four legs is better than two. It's not as good for, because the floating ones, they can just go up and down like structures. You don't even need stairs. Mm-hmm. So like that's another like disadvantage. But if you have two legs, you can kneel, you can worship. And sure. if these Vex were being developed in response to encountering the Hive for the first time, and then that's when they originally started worshiping the darkness. Well, how do the Hive worship the darkness? They kneel to it.
It's true. There are very similar animations, in fact, in game for the Hive and the Vex for their worship animations.
Exactly.
You've seen that? Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, that's what I think that's about. Like, that's why they're bipedal. I don't think most of what we encounter is their original form or function.
I get where you're coming from entirely, and that makes sense. I'm gonna do a quick dive. I still am gonna use the unveiling lore book because I think it's useful for examining, even if we should take it with a gigantic grain of salt. I agree that it's probably not to be taken at its face value at the very least. It's not something we should take literally. I don't know if that's how I came off earlier, but it's something that I think is useful for examination on the basis of the Vex, however. Particularly the Patternfall card, where it discusses the Vex basically being a stream of data that co-opted the saltwater. They propagated it in the saline meltwater of comets orbiting the first stars. That's the terms that the lore piece uses. So basically, they found a home in the salt water where the Radiolaria lived, and mm-hmm. then they used that to their advantage and basically co-opted the Radiolaria, whether that's via assistance from an external means or via their own internal mechanisms to be determined. I don't know.
Well, we've seen one be born. We've seen a goblin be born.
Correct.
In Season of the Undying, I think it was season 8 or season 9.
Yeah, there is a cutscene that shows them being created, the Vex fluid filling up the chassis. Yeah.
And then the red light turns on and you're like, ooh, scary.
But I do believe that there is some sort of undeniable symbiosis between the Radiolaria and the electronic portion of the electronic or data processing portion of the computer aspect of the Vex unit.
Well, I wonder, so the most conductive thing that we know of in real life is silver. Silver is what they actually used for the Manhattan Project. They melted down a bunch of the silver from Fort Knox mm-hmm. In secret for that purpose. Second only to that is copper. Mm-hmm. Copper, and I don't know if you guys know this, but copper, two-thirds of the world's copper, I think it is like under the United States soil.
Really?
Yeah, we kind of have like a shit ton of it. Like, and it like didn't matter until like more recently, but in terms of history of the world. But so that's like another thing to take an example. And I'm thinking these are like, they're like Radiolaria on Earth that exist, but what if the silica they produced was the most conductive thing in the Destiny universe? What if like that's the fastest way that you can possibly process, or at least like known to anyone in game?
Anyway, I did want to touch on silica. It is itself not a conductive material. So it's in fact, it'd be more like the material around the copper or silver that would insulate against the conductive material.
So like right glass. Utility, wrong application.
Yeah. So yeah, basically the silica itself would be useful as a very as a way to insulate against whatever they're trying to transfer for information. So perhaps I guess I'm not quite sure where else I wanted to take that, but I did want to clarify.
Well, that's a good clarification. Yeah, I guess it could be used in the processors rather than
The
processor.
It could be
cooling down the whole VEX, because as we know from the Ishtar Collective cards, each of those little VEX has its own little simulation running inside of it.
Sure.
Like the 100 and however many Ishtar Collective copies came out of that goblin. They didn't go into the VEX network. They went into his simulation.
Sure. Yes. I see where. Yep. Yeah. I would agree.
So like also crazy.
One more thought process I wanted to go down here to firmly establish that the VEX are certainly more than just the radial area. If we look at the Tractor Cannon lore card, I'm just going to read the latter portion of the card. Decades later, they joined the Ishtar Collective on Venus to study the enigmatic ruins unearthed by the Traveler's terraforming. First time it happened, VEX code leaping across an air gap, surfing the quantum vacuum from simulation to reality, infecting a utility frame. Kaioma pulled an alarm while Maya tried to grab the precious frame with a cargo-grade gravity grapple. She couldn't lift the grapple. Kaioma grabbed it, pinned the frame to the wall, and won the argument. So there we can see that the VEX code can clearly climb across media. Therefore, it can't be strictly limited to just the radio link, which is the focus of our argument today.
I would say that's a very strong point there. Your big strong points, you.
So I firmly believe that the VEX are in some sort of symbiotic relationship with the radial area.
Would you call it some sort of maybe reverse cyborg?
Potentially.
Everyone talks about regular way cyborg.
I would definitely give it some credence that some sort of force developed the VEX in order to either intentionally or unintentionally, and they eventually either co-opted the radial area, or they were developed with it in conjunction. Either way, I could definitely see that. Or alternatively, they could have been. Yeah, I don't know how the VEX develop as a unit of themselves, as an electronic AI sort of thing, without some sort of external influence.
Yeah,
that itself doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless there are some sort of. Unless the Winwer is a actual being.
well, I think it goes back to in the timeline in game, like Siv is developed to be sent like ahead to sort of like mm-hmm. help develop and build things on a planet before human colonization even gets there.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying there's Siva, but I definitely think it would make sense to have a. Even if it's not humans, I think if they're construction bots, I think it would make sense for them to have certain protocols that might sort of go out of control, especially if they have time travel capabilities.
It's kind
of the mass. they run into someone like the Hive, you know, like one of your prime directives is to survive,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't survive, when the people get there, they won't survive.
Mm-hmm. And so you're basically your principles get twisted. over time.
Yeah.
In order to
meet those directives. Yeah. Because then you find yourself in a universe, you know, that you didn't seek out, where everything is hostile. And so for centuries, you're leaning on that one directive to survive, and then you're like, well, how do I survive? And so you can abandon other, like, sub-directives, I think, to meet the prime one. Mm-hmm. I think that would be something definitely to think about. But yeah, I don't think that the Vex are the radial area. Mm-hmm. I don't think the files are inside the computer in this case. I think it's a little different. So all right. Final thoughts, the Bagels. Final verdict.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to give this one a negative 20. I do not think the Vex are the radial area.
I'm gonna give it a negative 22, not 20 as well. Two more less than you.
You're over 21. You busted.
but it's negative, so really, like, it's like I hit the bank. yeah, hit the dealer. So I give it like very, very unlikely. Like, it's an interesting theory, but there's so many, like if I had to crank it up to 11 and make it work, the only way I could have it that the Vex were the radial area is if we also crafted some elaborate story where, like, these peaceful radial area were enslaved to be the Vex.
Sure.
For reasons.
Sure.
That are also not explained at this time.
It still requires some sort of external influence where they eventually develop combat units or something like that in order to defend.
They got to get in those chassis the first time. I don't see them smelting metal and creating parts
How do single cell organisms create their own chassis?
Yeah, especially when they don't seem to have had access to space magic prior to their meeting of the Vex,
which is why they have a clear persuasion against it, or an ability to use it, understand.
Yeah, and they're just like, ew, no. gotta survive. So yeah, I think that's where I'm at with this one. Yeah, it's just it's a fun theory, but I just don't think it's very, likely. I don't think it's very plausible.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Well, with that, I think any shout-outs there, the Bagels?
I'm gonna shout out to all the hunters out there because we're gonna dominate the Guardian games. Just
dominate.
Wanted to say that it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. I feel like everyone knew it just because. So. Hunters are, like, they've been the most popular class the whole time. Like, in the entire existence of this game, I don't think there was ever fewer hunters. Mm-hmm. And then I think Titans only slightly edge out Warlocks.
Do they?
When I last looked.
Okay.
It was like, they were within a percent of each other. But Titans were number two at that time.
Probably during the season of Bottom Tree Striker.
Oh, Jesus.
Everybody's favorite nightmare.
Yeah.
One-eyed mask, Bottom Tree Striker. It was everywhere.
Oh, geez, stop it.
It touched me in bad places.
Give me back. Well, I remember... Oh, God. I think that's when I was running Foe Tracer. Oh. So it was like, I'll track you, you track me.
my tracking is inferior to your tracking.
Well, the tracking was about as good, and in some ways it was better, because, like, you could peep someone without actually attacking them.
Sure.
And, like, see where they ran.
When it worked.
Also fair. I would say the real downfall was the damage gain for the Foe Tracer is, like, negligible.
Yeah.
Like, I might get a point, which doesn't make a difference in any totals. Like, nope. Extra.
Nope.
Extra
it was all about
speed.
The tracking and nothing else.
Yeah, it's a strictly tracking. Although I do like the ornament that makes it look like it has rockin' sideburns.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
I'll show you after this. Yeah, you can make the Foe Tracer look like you've got the thickest, like, 70s burns.
That sounds fantastic. I need to see this.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing. I recommend it. So those are your shout outs. For me, just a shout out to, all you cool guys. Shout out to the Lore Network. Very happy to be a part of that. Definitely go check out all of our brothers and sister casts, and as well as ours, and all they have a lot of cool random like articles about stuff. Like there might not necessarily be like a full fledged like show or outlet, but if you like want to go through the window and you're like, oh man, like Voltron, that's pretty cool. And then there's like this whole article. You're like, oh shit. So that's another fun. That's him giving my shout out to this week. Another shout out to Mark, Iceman underscore 1H. He was the Bungie bounty this past week. Right after he was on our show. So I mean, I don't mean to take credit, but I'm gonna take a little credit because we could use it.
Are you saying good things happen to people that show up as guests on our podcast?
All I'm saying is good things appear to happen so far to people who show up as guests on our podcast. All I'm saying is once you get that spin foil bump, your success will realize. That's all I'm saying.
It's all uphill from there.
Yeah, it's really, it's all uphill for fuck you. With your backhanded grandma bless your heart compliment. Hope you fall down. Okay. So with that, guys, we've had a lot of fun this week. We'll see you next week. I think we have Greg next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Snug Samurai. So that'll be a fun one. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye. All
right. Bye.